Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We serve a great God. Amen. Amen. If you'd stand to your feet, I want to start service a little different, and I asked Brother Colin if he'd pray, but I wonder if we could start the service off with prayer. If we could lift our hands, lift our voices, and seek God's face and ask God to speak to us today. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful.
Lord, we pray over Brother Drone right now because he's the man that you've called to speak a word to this congregation. I pray that you'd give him divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord. And may the Spirit give him utterance. But I pray that this congregation that made their way into this facility in faith today to meet with you, may we have our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our ears open and receptive to you, Jesus, to receive anything and everything that you're trying to speak to us. Lord, we love you and we need you. We know you're going to do a mighty work today.
In the
wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ.
Can we clap our hands to the Lord, the King of Kings? Come on, he deserves our praise today. Come on, you have breath in your lungs this morning because he saw grace upon you this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. You can be seated. I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Laura and his family because without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have the beautiful wife that I have. I wouldn't have the daughter that I have, even though she loves Grandpa more than she loves Dada. And she's probably going to say Papa before she ever says Dada. And I might cry that day, so pray for me. I want to start today's service off with a story. It takes place in Tokyo in February 11th, 1990. The world watched as Buster Douglas, I don't know if anybody's a boxer fan in here, but Buster Douglas was a big man, but he was a teddy bear. When he would fight, he would oftentimes quit in matches. He wouldn't take it to the final bell. He would give up when he was in the later rounds if he wasn't winning. But there was a day where he had to fight Mike Tyson, and that was February 11th in 1990. Mike Tyson was undefeated. Mike Tyson was the undisputed champ. He was 37-0 with 33 fights in way of knockout. Means in 37 fights, he was knocking people out for a living. He was making paycheck after paycheck for knocking people's sense loose. Buster Douglas took this fight on, and this was supposed to be just one of those easy fights for Mike Tyson to just add to his 37-0 and become 38-0. It wasn't even televised in the United States. They took it over to Tokyo because people in the United States did not want to see Mike Tyson go up against this big old teddy bear, Buster Douglas. They didn't want to see what it was going to be, just this massacre of this man. So they took it over to Tokyo, and everybody in Tokyo got excited for this fight, and it was a sold-out event. He was considered unbeatable. He was feared by many. He was looked at as the impossible one, the one that you just didn't want to be in the ring with. My message to you today is titled, What is Your Why? What is your why? And I want to repeat it as many times as I possibly can today because the thing that God has given me was to have you go home today and ask yourself, why am I serving God? Why am I still going to church? Why do I put a suit and dress on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night? And why do I fast when the church calls to fast? Why do I pray? Why do I seek God's face? Because I think oftentimes we serve God just out of convenience and we serve God out of repetition because mom and dad did. But can I tell you, mom and dad aren't going to get you to heaven. This was something that God had placed on my heart, and I never knew if Pastor was going to ask me to preach in Jefferson, but I put it away, and I put the notes aside, and I said, I'm going to preach it one day in Jefferson if God asked me to. And we were here for that 7 days of prayer, and I remember sitting at the altar, and it was the first day, and I had my daughter in my hand, and I began to weep a little bit and tried to hold it back because dads aren't supposed to cry when they're holding their daughter. But I was praying, and I was praying words that I had never said before. I was praying words like, God, I know she's not mine. God, I know she's yours. God, I know I can't get her into heaven if I prayed every single day for the rest of my life. God, I understand there's not enough fasting that I can do. There's not enough prayer that I can do that is going to cause her to make it to heaven. But she has to choose it for herself. And I was over there praying and I was saying, God, lead me to lead her. Lead me to lead her. Lead me to lead my wife. Lead me so that my family can make it to heaven. Not because I can make them go to heaven, but because I can be a good example. And that added to my list of reasons of why I go to church. I don't go to church because we sing the good songs. I don't go to church because I got a new tie from JCPenney's. I don't go to church because Sister So-and-so goes to church. But I go to church because there was a man that was beaten down. There was a man that was cast away by everybody. There was a young boy in Orwell, Ohio, who had no statue, nobody supporting them, nobody backing them. But there was a God who seen him in that moment. That is why I go to church. I go to church because I know my testimony would be so much different if I didn't walk into this building when I was 12 years old. I would be a dead man today if it wasn't for God. I would be addicted to drugs just like my father was if it wasn't for God. I would be a deadbeat father, a deadbeat parent, and I would probably be strung out on alcohol and all these other things if it wasn't for God. I ask you today, what is your why? What is the reason why you wake up early in the morning and pray? What is the reason why you fast? What is the reason that is causing you to turn back to God? Because it can't simply be because mom and dad go to church. It can't simply be because grandma one day walked into a Pentecostal church and got filled with the Holy Ghost. That is a good start, but there needs to be more sustenance. There needs to be more fulfilling reason to be in the house of God. There needs to be a more fulfilling reason to get down on your knees repeatedly every single day to serve a God like we serve. Buster Douglas was looked at as some boxer who they would just throw him in fights. They would say, oh, we need an easy win, so let's go get the really big guy that really just quits whenever it gets hard. But this one night that changed boxing forever, this one night where people looked at Mike Tyson as unbeatable, witnessed something that they had never even thought or imagined could happen. Buster Douglas, 23 days before the fight, his mom passed away of a stroke. He didn't have a why when he entered the ring, but prior to that. But that night he had a why, because his mom was going around the community saying, my son is going to beat Mike Tyson. My son will beat Mike Tyson. You're going to watch it in Tokyo. My son is going to beat Mike Tyson. And he could have done like all of us do. When we go through our deepest, darkest moments, we get some kind of thought or some kind of mindset that, oh, maybe I shouldn't go to church because I'm going through a time or season that's so tough. I've been there, and I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at myself as well. There's times in our lives where it's really hard to wake up on a Sunday morning and to walk into a building and to have joy and have peace of mind and praise God with everything that you have. There are seasons in our lives that God allows us to go through, not to watch us suffer, not to watch us go through pain, but to sit there and say, you're going to make it through. And not because of your own fortitude, not because of how strong you are, but because of how strong he is. Buster Douglas, I'm going to say the name until it's hard to say, but Buster Douglas was a nobody. Nobody said, I want to watch Buster Douglas fight tonight. Nobody said, oh, did you see Buster Douglas is going up against Holyfield? No, they said, did you see this cupcake that they threw up against Holyfield? You see this fight? This is going to be one rounder and done. But Buster Douglas finally got a why to fight. And he ended up knocking Mike Tyson out. A man who had not been knocked down, a man who had not been defeated, who had not even looked even as if he could be defeated. Knocked him out. But can I tell you, in round 8, Buster Douglas got a right hook and then an uppercut and dropped straight to the canvas and was down for 8 seconds. Somehow found it in himself to jump up in 2 and then fight the rest of the fight. You're going to go through some things in life that absolutely bust you down, knock you out, set you down on the canvas, and you have to ask yourself, is my why worth it? Is it worth standing back up, or is it worth just going to hell? Is it worth getting out of this sinful lifestyle, or is it worth just being content with where my life is at? Your why has to be deeper. You have to look to the reasons of why you are serving God. In the seasons that become the hardest, you have to look back and say, this is why. Because there was a time where I didn't think it was possible, yet God made a way. There was a time I thought I was going to kill myself and deal with suicide for the rest of my life, but God made a way. There was a time where I couldn't pay the bills, Brother Johnny, and I didn't understand what was going to happen, yet God made a way. You have to hold on to the small testimonies and the big ones. You have to hold on to your children for your reason why. You have to hold on to that lost family member that said they're never going to walk into the church again. You have to hold on to that promise that God has given you, because the why is what's going to carry you through. Yeah. 23 days before. I don't know about you guys, but if my mom died, it'd be very hard for me to say, I'm going to go do this sport that I love. It'd be very hard for me to walk in there into the gym and have to jump rope and go to the point where I have to make this weight to get onto this scale and fight the most feared guy. It'd be very hard for me to be able to even lift my head in the morning if my mom had passed away. Yet somehow he found a way. The why gave him strength when he was tired. The why gave him courage after taking hit after hit from none other than Mike Tyson. The why kept him standing when everybody else expected him to stay on the ground. Against all odds, he knocked out the most feared boxer in the world. I want to read to you Proverbs chapter 24 and 16. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." If you've fallen, don't let the adversary speak into your ear and tell you to stay down. Don't let that friend that is supposed to be godly and supposed to have a prayer life speak that negativity into your ear and tell you, I don't know how you're going to make it through this. No, I know how I'm going to make it through it. I know, because God did it before and he's going to do it again. Because the same God of the Bible is the same God I serve today. The day that Job went down and all his friends were talking trash and saying, it must be because you sinned, or it must be because of this, or must because of that. No, it's because God has chosen me for this very moment, because this testimony I'm going through, Brother Johnny, is going to be something somebody else needs. Because contrary to popular belief, it's not all about us. It's not all about Brother Jerome. It's not about how I feel. It's not about what I think. But at the end of the day, it's about what moves the kingdom of God forward. What allows God to continue to reach souls? What am I doing to allow God to use me as a piece of conduit? That has been one of my biggest prayers this year. God, use me as conduit. I don't know if you've ever seen a piece of conduit, but it's gray. It's stinky. When you cut it, it's PVC. It's disgusting when you cut it. It lets off this chemical where when you start to cut it, and it gets in your nose, and you just don't ever forget that smell. You get home and you're sitting there like, man, I still smell it. I've already showered. My wife has cooked a meal and I still smell it. But I asked God, I don't want to be anything special. I don't want somebody to say, wow, Brother Jerome preached a good message. No, I want people to say, God used that man. It was God that took him from Orwell, Ohio. It was God that seen him where he was at. And it was God that made him who he is today. It had nothing to do with him other than the fact that he opened his heart and allowed God to move through it. When your why is strong enough, obstacles become opportunities for God to move. When you understand the God that you serve, when you understand the power that he holds, when you understand the healing that he can do, it changes your mindset. It changes your understanding of how this world thinks. This world is defeated. This world always is talking about the negative. It's always trying to push the negative down your throat and always trying to tell you you're not going to make it. You're just some average Joe. There's no possibility that you could be anything. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of seeing young people thinking that they can't make it. I'm sick and tired of seeing young people fall to the same sin over and over and over again because mom and dad are still living in it. I'm sick and tired of seeing grandmas and grandpas still missing church because there's some other excuse. Listen to me. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you don't sit in a pew. But what I am saying is that at some point we have to look to our why in our deepest, darkest moments and say, this is why I still serve God. This is why I still pray. This is why I still get on my knees and weep in the midnight hour praying for sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so because I believe there's still a God that can heal. The Apostle Paul had his why. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. What he's saying here is it's not about me. Nothing in this world matters. There's not a thing here that's going to change anything, but God can. There's not something here that should have my attention more than him. Jesus had a why. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, Who for the joy that was set before him endureth the cross. The reason Jesus endured the cross was because he saw what it was on the other side, which was our salvation. Your pain makes you shake, and it will chew you up and spit you out. If you linger too long on depression, if you linger too long on loss, if you linger in that season of anger, if you just linger there and stay there, all that's going to come of it is bad fruit. You're going to go to witness, or you're going to go to do outreach with the church after Jefferson service, and nothing's going to come of it because you're still lingering in this depression, lingering in this anxiety, lingering and claiming this on your life by saying, yeah, I'm battling with depression. Yeah, I can't sleep, so I gotta take the sleeping pills. Yeah, I can't do this without marijuana, and I can't shake this because I need the alcohol. It helps numb the pain. I don't know about you, but I don't want to numb the pain because if I numb it, I know it's coming back. And then I got to do the same process over and over and over and over again. At some point, we got to get sick and tired of home remedies. At some point, we got to get sick and tired of this temporal stuff. And lean upon God and give it to him. Because when we lean upon God, it doesn't come back. There is no coming back. God has taken it away. It's gone. When you know your why, you'll serve God a whole lot better. When you know your why, you'll pray a whole lot better. You won't miss prayer. You won't miss prayer that you've set aside for God. But you will look to it in the middle of the day. You'll say, I can't wait till I get home so I can open up my Bible and I can read a little bit more than what I was reading this morning about this or about that. Or I can't wait to fast tomorrow. Not because of my flesh, but I understand that when I fast, there begins to begin things to begin to break in the atmosphere. Things to begin to change because I understand that when I sacrifice, God begins to move. You'll discover what looked impossible to others becomes possible through God's strength. When you understand the why, when you look to the why, and I would implore you today to go home, and when you go home and you do your devotional or do your prayer, write down all the reasons why. Keep writing until you can't think of another why. Why? Because when you go through the next season, you can look back to that list and see, wow, this list just keeps getting longer and longer. There's so many reasons why I serve God. There's so many reasons why I pray. There's so many reasons why I read the Bible. Ask yourself, is my why strong enough to keep me through the deepest, darkest times of my life? If my family member were to deal with cancer, if my father was to deal with a heart attack, if I were to lose everything that I have today like Job did, is my why deep enough to keep me in connection with the one creator? Is my why deep enough to still get me into the church on Sunday morning? Is my why deep enough to pray in front of my kids? Is my why deep enough to reach to that one family member that said they're never coming back to God again? Is my why deep enough? The Apostle Paul understood that he had been saved to spread the gospel. Not for any other reason. Saved to spread the exact thing that he experienced. Paul, he committed crimes against Christians. He led the people to the Jews and to what they were doing and would call them out and list them by name and get them jailed and get them beat and all of this when he was Saul. But when he had his conversion and became Paul, it began to change something in him. He began to take that stubbornness that he had. And this will work for the youth kids. The stubbornness you had, God can use for good. That same stubbornness you have to mom and dad, that same stubbornness you have to the preacher, that same stubbornness, God can use that for you to have that kind of stubbornness for the gospel. You can go out into the world, and when they start preaching garbage and start twisting the verses, you can have stubbornness to speak up and be bold. The same way you do mama when she tells you to clean your room, the same way you do mama when she takes your phone, the same way you do daddy when he tells you to do something, you can take that same attitude that you already have, because Paul did it. He took that same stubbornness. He took that same attitude. He just flipped it and used it for good. I apologize. I'm a youth pastor. I had to throw that in there for the youth kids. Moses understood his calling was to deliver God's people and lead them to God's promise. He said in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" Though he struggled with self-doubt, he eventually walked into God's purpose for his life. See, you don't have to be perfect. I don't know where we got this idea where we have to be perfect. We have to get ourselves right before God can use us. We got to be able to say all the big words and say every verse from memory. God doesn't want that. God's not looking for people who can recite scripture. God wants people who can live it and then speak it. God wants people to say, I am but ashes and dust. I am nothing. But when God mixes with me, there becomes something. Nehemiah understood. Nehemiah knew that he was serving God to restore what was already broken. And he says in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3, "I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down." He refused distractions because he understood the assignment that God had already given him. Our assignment today is to go out and preach the gospel to all creatures. Our assignment today is to grab as many people as we possibly can and bring them to a place of salvation, being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That is our assignment today. Our assignment isn't anything else. Our assignment isn't to get rich. Our assignment isn't to get a big home. Our assignment isn't to have some big old nice vehicle and to have 50 kids and all that good stuff. It's not about that. Those are all perks. Those are all things of the world that if you work really hard, you can get, but you have to sacrifice something to get there. There are so many people that sit down at my desk, and I'm off my notes, but there's so many people that sit down at my desk that they are made of money. They go, "I'm just going to put this on the credit app. It doesn't matter how much I put, Brother Tyler. I make more than this, but this is all the bank needs to know." When I hear statements like that, I'm like, "Oh, good for you. You want to give to the building program?" But then I ask them, "How long did it take? What did it take from you? How long did it take for you to become CEO? Or how long did it take for you to do this or do that or do this or do that?" "Oh, it's been 30 hard years. 30 years of missing my young man's baseball games. 30 years of missing my daughter's concerts. 30 years of missing family events. 30 years of missing my wife and not going on dates. 30 years, and this is my third wife, and I got four more kids, and I'm not even in their life." I don't know about you, but there's no amount of money they could give me today that I would take to sacrifice my walk with God. There's no amount of money today that they could give me to sacrifice my time with my wife or daughter. There's no amount of money. Because though they have the nice cars, though they have the nice houses, though they have the kids have everything, they have all that, they have no love in the home because they've lacked it. They have no God in the home. Because there's nowhere in the Bible where God says, "I want you to focus 30 years of your life on your career. And then when you're done with that, then I want you to walk into the calling I have for your life." David, his wife, was God's glory. When everyone else feared Goliath, when everybody else was fearing Mike Tyson, David stood before Goliath, and he said these words. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, not in front of Goliath, but in front of his own people, he said, "What is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David was a little boy. David wasn't a grown man. He wasn't a steroid junkie. He wasn't this big old massive dude with muscles and ready to go. He wasn't that. He was a ruddy boy that was forgotten about by his own father when it came time to anoint a king. David understood his why. Because David understood God had already delivered him from a lion and a bear. God had already delivered him from all of that. And so he already understood, who is this guy? What has he done that I should give him any kind of my fear, any kind of my attention or my emotions? Who is he that I should even give him any time of day and listen to any word that spews from his mouth? Because I understand who my God is. Oftentimes, I think when we're going through our deepest, darkest moments, instead of going to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so and saying, I'm going through it, we should turn around and say, what is this? Who are you to step into my life? Who are you to try to take my child out of church? Who are you to try to cause my family to live in fear and to hide away from the living God? Who are you compared to the living God? What kind of power should I give you today? Rather than succumbing to the words of the adversary speaking into our ears, we should start speaking life into our situation. The Bible says that you are endued with power in Acts 1:8, but it also says that there's power of life and death in the tongue. If I sit there and I say, okay, yeah, devil, you're right. I'm never going to amount to nothing. You're right. I should just kill myself. You're right. I am worthless. You're right. I should just give up on my family and my marriage, and it's tough, and it's getting hard, and I should just give up. No. Our minds cannot go there. We can't afford in the season that we're in to allow our minds to succumb to the devil's words. Esther, all the young girls in here should listen. Esther, she had headship. Mordecai or Mordecai, however you want to say it. When I read the Bible, I say Mordecai because it sounds cooler. But Mordecai, because I've heard many preachers say Mordecai. Mordecai was her headship. He kept reminding her, this is the why, this is the why, this is the why, this is the why. When you go into the king, this is the why. Your people are all going to be tarnished if you don't step up and say something. This is the why. You are the reason today. God's going to use you today. Esther chapter 4 verse 14 says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther, a girl. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that she had an on-fire prayer life. No, nowhere in the Bible did it say she fasted for 40 days. No, nowhere in the Bible did it say that she read her devotional at 6 o'clock every day. Nowhere in the Bible does it say any of that. But God chose her for such a time as this because the people were going to be exterminated. Young girls in this room today, you can be the reason why your school and why your lost siblings can be in the house of God. You can be the reason why people's lives are changed. Your friends that are doing alcohol and doing all these things to try to fulfill this hole that's in their heart, this loss, you can be the reason why they give that up and turn their life to God. It can be you. It doesn't have to be the person next to you. It doesn't have to be the person at church camp. It can be you. But you have to stand up and say, this is my reason why. No one understood his why more than Jesus. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and 42, not my will, but thine will be done. I know it's preached often and it's preached into the ground. You know, when you hear people pray, they say, not my will, but thy will be done. Oftentimes when we pray, we don't even know what we're praying. Because in the back of our mind, before we ever even got into the altar call, before we ever even got to praying to God that morning, we were already thinking about our way. We had a 7-year plan on how this way was going to work. Can we be honest? I know that I've done it. I've gone into a prayer, and right before I was like, okay, so I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and this is going to work out, and then this is going to work out, and then we're going to all be great and dandy. Then I go into a prayer closet, and I pray, and God goes, no, you're going to go through this. And then that season starts on Monday, and it feels like it's never going to end. And you feel like you're fighting all hell. And you feel like everybody that was once with you is against you. And you feel like you hear the adversary's voice more than you hear God's voice. I don't know if you've ever been in those seasons, but I have. I've been in the seasons where I'm sitting there and all I'm hearing is the negative. All I'm hearing is the person that I shouldn't be even listening to, but they keep talking and they keep talking that negative. And I'm going through this back and forth with myself over and over and over again, like God and devil, God and devil, and God and devil. And it gets to the point where you have to turn and go, okay, shut that off. Where did it all start? What is my why? Why did I start serving God? Because it was a man, he's not here today. I wish he was, because I would call him out and say thank you, as I've already done many times. There was a man that decided to drive to Orwell, Ohio, sit at the post office box and wait for kids. There wasn't many kids that would come to that post office box, but my mom worked for the post office. We didn't go to the post office box. I'd ride my bike. Ask Terry. I played more in the field than I did anywhere else in the trailer park where I was mowing grass. But my mom worked for the post office. And he seen her and he said, hey, do you have any kids? She said, yeah, actually, too many. That was her joke with everybody. I was like, well, mom, you had us. It's your fault. It's okay to laugh. We are in church. She said, yeah, I have five. And she used it as daycare. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. That's what she did. She used it as a Friday night out. When she gets off of work, she knows her kids are already picked up. She wouldn't even be at the house when they would come pick us up. And she would use it as daycare. We would go to church, and we'd sit there, and we'd eat our snack and play the games and listen to the Bible verses. But when I'd get home, I'd enter back into that cloud, enter back into that depression, enter back into that hurt. Enter back into that lost feeling. I don't know about you guys, and maybe you grew up in perfect homes. And if you did, that's great. God has spared you, and God has blessed you. Don't ever neglect that. But I just remember many times where God had spoke to me at a youth rally, spoke to me at a camp, touched on my heart, began to change the things of my mind, that the things that were poured into me, spewed negative stuff, talking about you're never gonna make it, you're ungrateful, you're this, you're that. And I remember thinking, God, if I'm ever gonna be used by you, how is that even possible? I'm ungrateful. I'm unworthy. I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. I'm that. And back then, I would pray super honest. Right, you know, I would repeat the things that my mom would say to me, and those things would have curse words in them and things like that. So I'd say, God, if I'm this, how am I going to be used? If I'm this, if my dad doesn't love me, how could I love somebody? If my mom isn't really in my life, how would I ever find a partner that can help raise children? How can I ever be used by you? And God would continue to pour out. Through Pastor Chris, through Pastor, through men here in this very room, through Brother Kenny. I owe a lot of my life to about five men in this room for when I first started coming. Because instead of them sitting there saying, hey, I have work today and I worked a long shift or anything like that. No, they'd come pick me up and they would continue to pour in and pour in. And pour in. And they never once, not one of them on God, not one of them ever dogged my mom. Not one of them. Not one of them ever said your mom is a horrible mom. Not one of them ever said your dad is a horrible dad. No, they didn't say that. They said, honor your mother and father. That's what they would say. They would teach me Bible. They would teach me how to look at my family. Teach me how to look at things differently rather than look at them what they truly were. If you'd stand with me today. God is calling our church to more. He truly is. And I'm not just talking about a building program. That's great, and I'm excited. I've been here since I was 12, and we've been piecing together what we can and trying to make things make ends meet. It's like a single mom with five kids. We've been trying to make ends meet. Oh, classrooms over here, classrooms over there. Move the kids here, move the kids there. It's about time that we get classrooms, amen? Amen. But I'm excited not for the building. I'm excited for the families that are going to be in this place. I'm excited for the marriages that we're going to hear. People saying, if it wasn't for the fact that I walked into this place and God led me here, I wouldn't be married today. If it wasn't for the fact that I walked into this place and was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, my kids wouldn't be saved today. I want to hear testimonies just like that. I want to hear testimonies of people who are addicted to anything and be able to come in here and say, hey, if it wasn't for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so allowing God to use them, I would still be strung out if not dead. Because God is calling us to more. The new building can't just be a place where we just all go in there and sing the songs. But the new building needs to be a place where people can find refuge, where people can find joy, peace, something that they've never felt in their life because of temporal things bringing them temporal peace and temporal joy, where they can feel love and where they can truly believe in the restoration power of God. God is calling our church to more healing. God is calling our church to more people being baptized, to more people being filled with the Holy Ghost, and to more marriages happening in this church, to more flourishment in our area, to have dominion over the adversary in our area, to be able to put our foot on the head of the serpent and be able to have dominion as he's given us here in Jefferson. So as I close today, I ask you, what's your why? What's your why? My why is all of you. Because when I'm going through my deepest moments, I see some of you up here going through your highest moments. And it gets me excited for when God's going to give me my moment of being on the mountaintop. My why is you. When I see you pray and you're seeking God because you're going through the deepest time of your life and you've gone through so much loss, but somehow you still find a place at the altar to weep and give it all to God. My why is you. To see you worship and sing and shout to God. And to know I could have missed it all if I would have just lived my own stubborn ways. My why is you. So I ask you, what's your why? What's your list of whys? If God has touched your heart, if God has spoken to you today, I ask that you step out of your seat and we can find a place in the altar. And we begin to thank God for our whys. God, I'm so thankful that I serve a God like you. I'm so thankful, God, that you still do the things that you did in the Bible days. I'm so thankful you found this little ruddy boy in Orwell, Ohio. And God, that I get to experience, Lord, friends and loved ones here, God, that I would never have met in my entire life. I praise you and I worship you for it. And I pray, God, that we would turn back to this message, Lord. If we're going through a season on the mountaintop, God, that we would turn back to this message and we would reach out and say, this is why. This is why God is moving. This is why I still serve God. This is why I still reach out. This is why I still pray. This is why I still fast. This is why I still believe in reading the Bible. This is why I still give of my tithes. This is why I still teach Bible studies. This is why. God, I worship you, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would give us strength. Lord, in our moments, God, of weakness, I pray, Lord, you would be our strength, as the word says.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, yes, my God will never fail. fail. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. A victory for the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I am. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh yes, you take. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh yes, you You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, yes, you take. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh yes, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I am, 'cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. See a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh yes, you take what the enemy you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh yes, you take what the enemy, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh yes, you take, you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it. Turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh yes, you take. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, you take. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. I got a mosh. Oh, Victory belongs to him. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we just thank you. Lord, thank you for such a wonderful presence that was in this place today, Jesus. God, I pray as, Lord, we've heard the word, and God, I pray that we would just, Lord, that we would just not set it aside, Lord, but God, that we would really focus on what we heard today, and God, that we would apply it to our lives, Lord. We just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. God, I pray that you bless them, and they just have a wonderful day. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.